Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
"Why, this is violence," cried Julius Caesar. Then Casca made the first slash with his knife and the other senators descended, stabbing away in an attempt to protect democracy against the will of the people. At last, Brutus stepped forward, clean knife in hand, and Caesar, his life ebbing with his blood, onto the Senate floor, looked up at him and said, "This is the gargle." The sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. All of the news, none of the politics. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Eleanor Morton.
Hello.
And Andy Matthews.
Hi, this is me.
You answered that like someone answering the phone in like the 1987.
Speaking.
Or just what you say, the number that they just called. That's another fun thing.
Oh man, we used to do that religiously at our household. Yes, 396425. But then they extended the phone numbers and it got to really be like 6239-6425. You got to like, it's a real mouthful. Yeah, it takes up half the time. And you're paying for those phone calls as well by the second.
Well, before we stick our fingers into the rotary dial that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of this week's magazine. The front cover of the magazine this week is the kid in Florida who was home alone when a piece of space junk crashed through both floors of his family home. The headline reads, "Nothing special about this kid, but we're pretty sure this is how you get superpowers, so we're keeping an eye on him." The satirical cartoon this week is Sam Bankman-Fried being sentenced to 25 years in jail for billions of dollars worth of fraudulent crypto shenanigans and business cheatery. That's not the satirical cartoon. The part that's satirical is the people on one side going, "That is far too long to be put in jail," and the other people going, "That is not enough time to be put in jail."
It's the people in jail with Sam Bankman-Fried that I feel sorry for. I hope that there's some sort of, you know, adjustment factor that gets, you know, like a handicap or some sort of multiplier that gets applied to their sentences with regard to the fact of being trapped in a small space with a man who's very into crypto and polyamory must surely make your whatever sentence you're serving feel a lot longer.
Oh, no. I didn't know about the polyamory.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Sisyphus. They never say what kind of rock he was pushing up the hill, whether it was a nice, smooth sort of marble or granite situation or maybe like a rough sandstone, you know, makes a difference.
Oh, yeah, indeed. The time served, yeah. It's almost like a time dilation kind of thing. You know? It's a tricky one with Sam Bankman-Fried because I don't understand anything about cryptocurrency, but as far as I'm aware, he was stealing people's cryptocurrency. Ultimately, he was shifting the cryptocurrency around to different places in order to take people's cryptocurrency. But cryptocurrency, in my opinion, is essentially worthless. So he was taking something worthless from people, which I understand, you know, it's not exactly a victimless crime, but the people who did suffer from this, it feels like they're a crimeless victim. I don't see how taking something worthless from people can actually be, in any meaningful mathematical sense, wrong.
I thought it was refreshing that he at least pretended to be sorry, which is quite rare for these guys.
Did he pretend to be sorry, though? He said he was sorry that he got caught.
He was like, oh, I didn't know it was illegal. Work out. Yeah. He was like, oh, yeah, it's a shame those people can't get all their money back. Anyway, bye. Alice, what do you think? Do you think it's morally wrong to steal something that, as far as I can tell, might not exist?
I mean, arguably, money doesn't exist, and crypto exists slightly less than money exists, but it probably exists more than absolutely nothing.
Right, yeah.
Exists in the way that Tinkerbell exists, in that if we all believe in fairies, it will continue to exist. But what Sam Bankman-Fried did was, like, in Wizard of Oz, where they pull the curtain back and reveal that the fairies aren't real, and thereby deflated everyone's belief in the fairy that is cryptocurrency.
Because you have to pay for cryptocurrency with real money, so that there is money has gone.
So basically, if you cried when Tinkerbell dies in Peter Pan, then cryptocurrency is real.
Okay. See Alice being like, how do I explain this to a mortal? who likes fairies, though? I do like fairies, so thank you.
I feel sorry for Sam because I feel like he's dealt with this. I mean, basically, I really relate to him because I think that he is somebody who a lot of people looking at him assumed he must be very smart. And that is something that happens to me quite a lot because I have glasses and no social skills. But the fact is, I'm a big idiot as well. And I think that's the situation he found himself in. And, you know, at least on my part, the worthless thing that I trick people into paying me for is art. But he made the mistake of making it numbers?
I think you've accidentally put your finger on the crux of this problem. I don't know, Andy. but you've definitely put your finger on the crux of the problem, which is the division, the artificial division between arts and sciences. Because this is a man who was a great bullshit artist. He would have made a great comedian or performer. He believed his own bullshit. He was extremely creative. He just thought what he should be doing was maths. And he was being very artistic with maths. And if he'd been appreciated for the artistic beauty of what he was doing with maths, then no one would have got into any trouble. But people thought that he was actually, you know, cool. Top story this week. House burns down. Burned down by a real estate agent trying to sell house. That is the top story this week. A real estate agent in Sydney accidentally burned down a property that they were meant to be selling. Andy Matthews, you're in Australia. You're our man on the ground. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, well, so I will. So what's happened is that this real estate agent has been taken to court and made to pay almost $1 million. And I think that that's great. But I want to make it absolutely clear, I think that that should have happened regardless of whether or not they burned down a house. I think the burning down of the house is immaterial. It's a useful pretext. It's like how they got Al Capone for tax evasion. The important thing is that a real estate agent has finally been made to pay for their crimes. I don't see why this should stop them. I think that the realist, she should have gone on and continued to try and sell the house while it was a blaze. You know, how would you do that? Well, it's filled with natural light. It's got passive heating and it's in stop, drop and rolling distance from the shops.
Basically what happened was she saw that they'd left some sheets out on the deck and she threw the sheets down the stairs, basically. Mm. Or she threw them into a downstairs room on top of a light, which she then switched on in order to provide a sort of a ghostly ambience.
I always think I'm paranoid for being like, I put my iron away when it's still a bit warm in the cupboard, and I'm always like, you know, because I've got OCD, I'm like, what if it starts a fire? What if the flat burns down? What if I come home and the flat's burned down, the whole block's burned down, and everyone's like, Ellen, you got to pay for the whole thing. But now I'm worried that really will happen because I didn't know lights could. I mean, neither did she, obviously. So, but it was very very estate agent of her to see the current tenant's stuff and be like, don't want to look at that, just throw it in the cupboard, everything's burned down. Also, I like that when she called the owner, what she said was, and I'm going to do the accent, guys, so I hope you enjoy this, "Oh my God, Pete, I think I have burnt down your house." So I think that's pretty funny.
I am sorry to tell you, Eleanor, that was just good enough an Australian accent to not be funny.
No! Damn my talent. She's got one of those photos as well that estate agents often have where it's like an acting headshot, which I don't really know why estate agents have like acting headshots. Like, you pick your estate agent based on how nicely they've dressed or how charismatic they look. Because as we know, we only pick estate agents based on how desperate we are. I will say, it looks like a very nice, I'm looking at the picture, it's a very nice house before it burnt down. even now it's burnt down, you know what? I wonder if they can sell that as something. There'll be someone out there who needs, you know, some sticks to live under.
People say that reducing this house to a smouldering pile of, you know, charred wood and broken glass is a bad thing. But that is now probably one of the few affordable rentals available in New South Wales.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's complaining about the housing affordability crisis, but she's one of the few people out there who's actually doing something to increase the stock of affordable rentals in this country.
Hero.
And I think she should be applauded. A hero. I don't think that's too strong a word.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Do you have allergies, mysterious rashes, weird itchy bits, odd fainting? Try an elimination diet. Strip everything out of your diet and start fresh with just half a glass of water. Half a glass of water, hypoallergenic. Terms and conditions apply. Speak to your healthcare provider. If you're allergic to half a glass of water, try the other half. Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night. What immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? Looking for a frame? Try Ace Frames and Framing Shop. Whether it's a tiger, a baby photo, or a business rival, we'll frame them all. Ace Frames and Framing Shop. Frames that fit like a glove. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by ducks. Way weirder than you think they are. Ducks. That's your ad section for today.
Ducks, they do a great job of keeping all the weirdness on the inside. I think that's their secret, isn't it? Like, because they've got those freaky, like, gill things inside their beaks, and then they got weird corkscrew penises, but they're all inside, and there's a great lesson there for all of us, I think, is just to keep all that shit hidden away.
Yep, all cute on the outside, and on the inside, dubious approach to consent, all that kind of thing.
I strategically left that out of mind, but you're right, Alice. You're absolutely right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
That brings us to our AI penis news. Which is the news that there's a new company on the market trying to tell you to take a photo of your partner's junk and send it in to them so that they can check for suspicious spots or rashes. Eleanor, you look suspicious. Can you unpack this story for us right now?
I deeply hate this. So apparently there is a company. I've clicked on the link itself. It is something you can visit, Calmara AI. You send them a picture, not of your own penis, it seems to stress, but your partner's penis. Don't send them your penis. They don't want your, they want a different penis. And then their AI technology, which as we know is always can always do amazing things and never gets the number of fingers wrong, will tell you if your partner's penis has any kind of diseases. And I'm just wondering, if it's visible on a photo, it should be visible to your naked eye. So I don't really, I think it's for the sort of people who need AIs to check everything for them, because I wonder if this is for like, maybe the suggestion is like for kind of one night stands, perhaps, like, for, you know, just so you don't have to, you know, just so you know everything's
communicate,
fine. Yeah, exactly. Because I think if you were questions. In a long-term relationship, instead of taking an AI picture of your partner's penis, you'd say, hey, should we go and get some checkups to make sure we're all good in the hood, you know, literally the hood. But I also wonder how in the throes of passion with a stranger, you bring up that you might want to quickly take a little picture and just send it off to AI. And maybe they'd be into that.
I'm odd or not. I've just never wanted to sleep with anyone who I couldn't ask about a rash.
Yes, me too, exactly. And it's
one of the most attractive things in a partner, the feeling that I could ask them about a rash. I think that's really hot.
Instead of, you know, you getting down to it and having a look and going, oh, and saying to them, what's that? Your instinct is to take out your phone and take a picture of it. That wouldn't make me feel safe, but I wouldn't feel flattered if I was with someone and they just quickly snapped a pic. Not a sneaky, sexy pic, not like a revenge porn thing, but just like a clinical, like, take a look at this.
Full harsh lighting.
Oh, they've also got FAQs that I'm enjoying. Can I use Calmara on other area other than penis? So first of all, great grammar there. The answer is
you can't even get your spelling right.
It's really in its element when focusing on the D. Its genius brain isn't quite tuned for other zones like balls, booty, or mouth, meaning it might miss the mark accuracy wise. So basically, somebody has spent a lot of time really honing the technology to take pictures of only penises.
No. They have trained AI on the data that is available on the public web, which is 1 billion dick pics. That's why they're not accurate on anything else. I mean, it strikes me that that might be the only genuine use case is if someone sent you a dick pic and you can say no because you have herpes.
That's a good point, yeah. And if someone was trying to harass you with them, which, you know, has happened to me, and maybe it's happened to you, Alice, as a female performer, you could just shoot back, hey, listen, I've uploaded it to Kamara, and you need to get checked, and then that freaks them out. So I don't know, maybe that's a good use.
The only notable dick pic that I've ever received was in the form of a compliment after a show where somebody sent me a dick pic next to a thumbs up. It was a penis and a thumbs up, and the word underneath was good show. So I feel like the combination of the penis and the thumbs up was a little bit redundant. I feel like either one of those.
Definitely wasn't two thumbs or two penises.
It was definitely not a man with a penis thumb.
I don't know. some strange things out there. Andy, you have a penis. What do you think?
No, thank you. And thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt. I have concerns about this. Firstly, because I'm like Eleanor. I wasn't aware that, like, because it says if you're not sure about a spot on a penis, you can send them a photo of it. Like, I wasn't aware that there were any spots that it was okay to have on a penis. I thought, you know, the rule is, if they've got a spot, you better not. You know, that's
nice.
That's my policy. Unless, of course, you both have the same spots, right? In which case, it's if the spots align, then you'll be fine.
Or if you're both leopards.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they haven't specified that. And that's another of my concerns, actually, because I do a podcast with a guy called Al, and I've discovered that it's very difficult. Now that AI is in the news all the time, I've discovered it's very difficult to tell in writing whether or not somebody is referring to AI, all in caps, or somebody called Al, a capital A, lowercase L. So I haven't looked into the T's and C's, but I have just scanned their website, so I can't be completely sure whether or not it is AI looking at these photographs or just some bloke called Alistair taking a look at all your dick pics and going, ooh, no.
Yeah, I love that idea. Just, I don't know if he's saying, oh, no, maybe that's his thing. Maybe he's tricked people. Maybe he likes diseased penises and he's found a way to make everyone...
Another great one. Another great one. Good job. Looking good, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be fine. I've never taken a dick pic, but I have tried a lot of those online identity. I've had to do a lot of those sort of, you know, those new digital online identity things where they like do a scan of your face and you've got to get your face exactly in the circle. And I can tell you it's incredibly frustrating to be in the situation where you're like, your face is in the circle and the message keeps popping up, you know, point the camera at a face. No face detected. And I can only imagine the incredible boner-killing power of your partner being there with their mobile phone, trying various different angles as the computer says, no penis in image, no penis, please point the camera at a penis. That is not a penis.
I like the idea that the boner would survive until then. It would definitely survive your partner whipping out a camera and being, excuse me, I need to wait 45 minutes to an hour.
Boners can survive a lot. You know, they really can.
And that brings us to our reviews section. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Eleanor, what have you brought in for us this week?
I have brought in eating Easter eggs for breakfast. Now, initially I was excited about this as a concept. I was all in. I was like, yes, Easter eggs for breakfast. Could do that forever. I have to say, 3 Easter eggs in is too many Easter eggs. So I will, as an experience... a little bit overwhelming. And I don't know if you saw the news the other week of the British Health Organization or whoever it was. Some guy was like, some doctor was like, don't eat your Easter eggs in one go. And obviously everyone in Britain went, you can't tell me what to do. And I was one of those people and I feel sick now. So I would give the initial experience a 5 and the result a 1.
5 and then 1.
Yeah.
Andy, Matthews, what have you brought in for us this week?
I've brought in this book that I wrote. My parents recently were cleaning out our old house and gave me some of my old possessions. They've given me this book that I wrote as a small child called The Smallest Dolphin in the Ocean. It's only 3 pages long, but I'd like to take you through it if that's okay. Here we go. The smallest dolphin in the ocean. Danny was the smallest dolphin in the school. He was the size of a pencil. His favourite thing was making fun of the other dolphins. But he was very powerful. He could creep up on sharks. He could get away from octopus. He lived in a huge cave underwater. That's page 1. Okay, so far, so not particularly disturbing. He did not have any family. They had all been killed by whalers, but he had lots of friends, like Moby Dick, but his best friend was Billy. His worst enemy was Slopey the shark. One day, Danny got all his friends and went to Slopey's house and killed him.
Wow!
But he had so many other enemies, he could not count. When they had killed 5 of his other enemies, they went home. The next day, there was a huge commotion outside his front door. When he opened, he saw a pile of presents and all of his friends on top of it. It's your birthday, Danny, they said. The end.
Oh, that's the end. That's how it ends.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I think that's the sort of thing that if there was a true crime documentary about Andy Matthews, they would show that, like, even from his earliest years, Andy displayed a tendency towards violence. And people would be like, yeah, we knew he was going wrong from the vicious dolphin story.
Look, I need to know, sorry, just for clarity, what's the punctuation here regarding he had so many enemies and he could not count? Is it he couldn't count the enemies or he just couldn't count at all?
Good question. Oh, God. He had so many other enemies, he could not count. You know what? There's no punctuation at all. So I can't tell you. And I think that's what makes this great art. It's the ambiguity that that makes it so compelling.
You've E.E. Cummins'd it.
Yeah. Mm. There's something about, you know, it starts quite conventionally, dare I say. You know, there's a small, vulnerable dolphin who's not you know, not yes, the best, and then it immediately becomes, actually, who's the scariest killer dolphin in the world. And he's got so many enemies, he can't count them. I loved it.
Yeah. And Eleanor, I think you were on the right track. So when in my review, I will give this 5 out of a possible 5 red flags for future sociopathic behavior.
Only towards sharks.
Mm.
I love it. I think it's gonna be a blockbuster. Spinning Earth news now. Not the news that the Earth is spinning, but the news that the Earth is spinning at a slightly different rate from what we assumed, and we may have to subtract a second from the clocks of the world. Eleanor Morton, you blink a lot. Can you unpack this story for us?
Right, let's see. Can I? So because of, as far as I can tell, I didn't even know this was possible. The Earth is spinning faster, partly because I believe the ice caps are melting. I guess that makes it faster because the ice slows things down, as we know. And so this means that the boffins in charge of clocks, because that's a job. No, listen, this makes sense.
Tell us more about the clock boffins.
Right, the clock boffins, they have realised that if the Earth is spinning, like, I assume a fraction faster, impossible to tell, they're going to have to take away a second from the clocks. So, like a leap year, but backwards and not a year, a second. But not yet. I think they're going to do it in a couple of years. So I think we're good for now, but in maybe 2028, we'll have a second less than we have done. And we've already lost an hour this week, actually, so a second I'm not that bothered about. But they seem very... The boffins seem very concerned about this missing second. I mean, again, as I've stressed many times on this podcast, I am not a scientist. No. And I can't tell why we should even... Who would notice? Maybe we've lost loads of seconds. I mean, you know, to me, it doesn't seem important, but I understand it is.
I think I know measurably less about this story now after listening to you speak.
Yes. I'm the opposite of a science communicator. You come to me if you want to feel like you know less.
Mm.
The core of the Earth, it is unpredictable, and that also makes the Earth speed up. But again, I couldn't tell you why. Alice?
So basically, we have a couple of different versions of time.
Right,
and the
okay.
Earth is you have astronomical time and atomic time.
Right,
they
yes.
don't match. Astronomical time falls behind atomic time by 2.5 milliseconds every
but
day.
But why? Why do we have two?
Because one is slightly more accurate than the other.
Double handling.
Right, okay.
Also, the Earth is slowing down and speeding up.
I think Alice wrote this story just to annoy me and confuse me, and it's not real.
I think I know less about it again after Alice's explanation.
up until fairly recently, the Earth has been slowing down. We've been changing things up in order to factor that in. Mm. But now, because the molten core of the Earth is sloshing around in unpredictable ways, the Earth has sped up again. And therefore, we're going to have to dock a second off time. So we're all going to have to just pause and buffer for a second. At one point.
I'm happy with that. That sounds nice. Let's just take a little bit of time out, just recollect our thoughts, and everyone just chill, you know? Why not?
I think that's not... Again, Eleanor, that's not what's happening.
Oh.
No, that's not what's happening. We've got less time.
Yeah.
You take a picture of your clock and you send it in, the AI tells you if it's got a disease on it.
If it's too fast or too slow. I mean, I always all my clocks are 10 minutes fast, just so I don't get late for anything. So, losing a second from that will make me late, actually, which is pretty rude of time.
That's why that Salvador Dali painting happened. All the clocks went floppy because somebody was trying to take a photograph of them while to send it into a website. I'm unhappy about this because I know which second they're going to take from the year. It's going to be the last second. And as a procrastinator, I needed that second. That was the one where I got everything done. And once again,
Yeah, I mean, we procrastinators, we suffer again and again. It always falls on the procrastinators, you know. Yeah. And one of these days, you know, we're not gonna sit around and take this much longer. I mean, a fair bit longer. We're gonna sit around and take it a fair bit longer. But eventually, you know, things are gonna change. This is how bad climate change is, though, right? Like, I knew that we were running out of time to tackle climate change, but it turns out we are literally running out of time as well.
Because of climate change, yeah.
Because of climate change. I don't think this makes sense. I mean, just to dive into the physics of this a little bit, isn't the Earth spinning, in this case, a little bit like one of those ice skaters spinning around, right?
In a tight circle. Centrifugal force.
All of that, right? And then when you put your arms out wide, when they spread their body out wide, right, they go slower because angular momentum is conserved, right? And if the mass is distributed further from the center of the orbiting object, then the velocity must decrease in order to keep that that orbital velocity must decrease to keep the same angular momentum. If the Earth's caps are melting, then surely the ice is melting from the poles, water will move away from the poles, mass will move out further towards the equator of the Earth, and then therefore the Earth should spin slower. I call bullshit on this. I'm going to turn into some sort of one-second truther. I think they're taking that second from us for some other reason.
Yeah.
They're giving it to the billionaires. Yeah. Probably Elon Musk wants that second to harass more of his employees or something.
So that was really well articulated sort of engineering understanding of the way the world works. But you have to understand that when ice melts, it gets slippier. And so then the Earth moves faster because it's more slippery.
Moves faster.
I don't know what's true and what's not anymore. I can't tell what are jokes and what is real science.
And we're both wearing glasses, so you can't tell.
Yeah, I know.
You know, with climate change, which is something that makes me very anxious, you know, I thought the deal was everything gets warmer apart from some bits that get colder and there'll be more flooding and more natural disaster and that's bad. And now they're just adding, like, all sorts of extra things like we'll run out of time and God knows what else. So thanks a lot, climate change. That's all I can say.
Well, speaking of making no sense, that brings us to our final story of today, which is apparently hallucinogen use among Generation Z has spiked since the pandemic and is showing no signs of slowing down, unlike the Earth's core. Andy Matthews, you're high. Can you unpack this story for us?
Look, all I can say is that I think that I understand young people wanting to experience higher planes of existence, because as I understand it, the astral realm is one of the few remaining areas that hasn't been gentrified and they can still possibly afford to buy property. I don't know much more about this because I have never in my entire life been offered drugs by anybody, and I can only assume you too, Alice.
Eleanor.
You too, Eleanor, right? Incredible, isn't
it? All of us, yeah.
And yet, here we are doing our news podcast like a couple of fun dudes. What do people want from us?
So I was once talked into doing mushrooms by a friend of mine who, on the day that had been appointed for the doing of the mushrooms, then said, actually, you've got a really weird brain, and banned me from doing the mushrooms.
Well, this is what I'm scared of, you see. As a very anxious person, a lot of anxious people will take drugs for that, but I'm doing the opposite. I don't want to take any drugs in case they make me more anxious. And the way I'm talking about this now, you can tell I'm an anxious person. So,
Alice, just checking, did you show up on the day and say, hello, is this the day that has been appointed for the doing of the mushrooms? Because I think that could have been the moment at which they decided, you know what, we don't need to strip away any layers of this person. I think we get it. I think we know what we're dealing with.
Look, that's the closest I've ever gotten to doing any drugs. They spent weeks and weeks talking me into it and then just changed their mind.
Yeah, the more you talked about it, the more they started to realise it might be a bad idea. It's interesting because the way that young people, oh my God, Gen Z are using hallucinogens seems to be different from the way other generations have used them. And I say that as very much an observer, not a participant, as you can tell. But, it's interesting because people always say, like, oh, you know, clubbing's better with drugs, sex is better, everything's better with drugs, and you know, you get an amazing experience if you go out and you do drugs. And as far as I can tell, you know, the drug is the important thing there. You could sit in your room under the bed and have a great time if you were on the right thing. So I think Gen Z seem to be doing a lot of stuff at home, which I quite like. You know, they seem to be doing it for medicinal self-medication purposes rather than partying reasons, which I think is quite wholesome in a way.
Well, I feel like this is just a victory for drug marketing, because now you have, you know, you have the hallucinogens for the people who are rebellious against their parents and who want to rebel against the laws, but then you also have the life hackers microdosing little bits of MDMA or little bits of ketamine or little bits of mushrooms in order to optimize their productivity. If they're one of these sort of life hack people that want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and have an ice bath and...
Sort of the opposite of the point of drugs, really. Becoming more productive and...
this is like how Coca-Cola owns Coca-Cola, but also Mount Franklin Water. So they own both alternatives.
See.
So if they've got the life hackers on lock and the school dropouts, they've got everything. They've covered all the segments of the market.
I will say, when I found out that MDMA and ecstasy were the same thing, I felt a little bit cheated. I'd always been led to believe that like MDMA was this super cool drug for cool people, and that ecstasy was a 90s drug that for people who liked smileys, and actually that it's the same thing, and they're not cooler, actually. So, does anyone else have
their
reaction?
They're cooler than us. They're cooler than us.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I got a llama. I don't know if you guys can see. I got a llama mug, so I don't see how anyone could be cooler than this.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back of the magazine. Eleanor, have you got anything to plug?
I am at Macuntleth Comedy Festival in Wales next month. The 3rd, I think, is the day I'm there. But, you know, it's all in the brochure. So if you're in Wales, come to Macuntleth and do that. It's very fun. And, you just find me in all the normal places that you can find comedy and online stuff. Just Google my name and I should turn up.
Andy, have you got anything to plug?
Only my podcast, Two in the Think Tank, that I do with Al. That's not AI, that's Al Astaire Tremblay Birchall. And also I have a children's book called Gustav and Henry. There's 2 volumes of adventures for young readers. So if you're aged 5 to 9 and listening to this, go online and just start searching stuff up and get your parents' credit card, and I'm sure it'll all work out great.
I thought you were, when you said a children's book, I thought you were going to say the dolphin books, and I was like, nice, market it.
That's true. If you liked Daddy the Smallest Dolphin in the Ocean and want to see what that author grew up to write, yes, it's considerably less gritty.
Mm. 5 stars on Goodreads. I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, as well, especially my most recent 2 stand-up specials, which would normally cost you £10 at GoFasterStripe. You can either get them at GoFasterStripe or you can go and sign up at patreon.com/AliceFraser, get them for free, as well as my weekly writers' meetings and my weekly salons. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.